upon my lips. Amen. Please be seated. If you listened to the lessons this morning, which I'm sure everyone did, there are two remarkable things which stand out. One is the healing by Paul of this man crippled from birth. And actually, if you look in the Greek, what it talks about is a foot which is turned inward like this and therefore can't be walked on. And this man was that way from birth and had always been sitting, begging as a result. And Paul healed him instantaneously. Or said better, God healed him instantaneously in Paul's presence at Paul's request. And the folks of that town, as you might imagine, were astonished and believed, because of an old legend in that town, that the gods had come to be with them. That was the legend, that the gods would one day come to that town and be with them. And so they thought they were there. But it was God moving, and Paul preached that. In the lesson from Revelation, we hear, I saw no temple in the city. This is a description of heaven. I saw no temple in the city. And the reason is because the whole city was the temple. The whole city was the temple. For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. That means Jesus. And so when we sang in our worship this morning as we began, shine, Jesus, shine. This is the Lamb to whom we refer that lights all of heaven by his very presence. This is a book here which I read some years ago and have shared with a number of people. It's called In Search of the Miraculous. It's written by a fellow named Jack Grazier. Jack Grazier was a hard-bitten reporter. Let's see if I can find the... The Erie Daily Times in Erie, Pennsylvania. And he talks about what it's like to be a reporter for a newspaper. First of all, you're crass and cynical and skeptical, and you just don't believe anything that goes on. The worst stuff that happens in the world is what comes across your desk. And so Jack was one of those hard-bitten, unbelieving, intolerant sort of people. But he had a problem. He and his wife had been trying for some time to get pregnant unsuccessfully. And they'd been to all of the fertility clinics and all of the embarrassment that both husband and wife must go through in order to try to have children when they haven't been able to conceive. And finally, someone suggested to his wife that they go and see a couple of faith healers. Now, this was about the last thing on earth that Jack imagined ever doing in his life. And they went to see a husband and wife team, Charles and Frances Hunter. I don't know if you've heard about them, but they're called the Happy Hunters. I've actually seen them one time in Indianapolis. This is the kind of couple that would be the last people on the planet you would think would have a healing ministry. In fact, I'll describe read Jack's description of them. First of all, they went to what Jack describes as a seedy little theater in a bad part of town. And it was dark and dungy inside, and they had to sit with 100 or so other people who really wanted to be there. And, of course, Jack didn't want to be there at all. And he says, when Frances Hunter and her husband Charles finally sallied onto the stage, they didn't look at all the way I thought faith healers should look. She was about 70, a large, plump woman wearing bright red lipstick and large glasses with pink graduating to yellow lenses and cutaway temples. She wore a garish organdy gown, and her lacquered hair was piled high on top of her head. Charles had the withered, overly staid look of an aging Republican. This is Charles and Frances Hunter. the very first thing the hunters did was begin asking the people in this congregation for money. And all of Jack's alarm bells went off when they did this. But they had a big campaign coming up in the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, and they really needed the funds to be able to put this on. So the first thing they did was ask for money. And Jack said to his wife, and of course what Charles and Frances Hunter said to the congregation was, pray, and whatever God tells you in your heart to give you, that's what I want you to give, right? Now this could be used quite manipulatively in order to make you believe that God really wanted you to fork over a lot of money. So Jack turned to his wife and he says, I don't care how much God tells you to give, I'm telling you not to give more than $2. Finally, Francis said, okay, now we'll do the healing. Anyone with a physical or spiritual need or a desire of the heart can come right up on stage. He says, virtually everyone, except Debbie and me, stood up and shuffled slowly down the sloped floor of the theater in two long lines. The lines went up the steps to the center stage. Charles Hunter ministered to the line that had formed on the left and Francis to the one on the right. As we watched, the strangest thing happened. One by one, the hunters spoke quietly to the people in line and placed a hand on each chest. And then, plop, 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 right down the line, the people fell over, flat on their backs, to lie apparently unconscious on the floor. As each person fell, he or she was caught under the arms by one of two young men, fastidiously dressed in gray suits, every hair on their heads in place. There were two of these fellows on stage, and they moved down each line, catching each person as he fell and lowering him gently onto the floor and his back. Then they'd cover him with a blanket. Those on the floor remained motionless for from 2 to 10 minutes. Just what is going on? I whispered to Debbie. What's going on? She whispered in turn to Karen Zimmerman, sitting at her right side. Karen was the friend who had urged us to visit here. She had come along for the ride. They're being slain in the spirit, Karen said. When the power of the Holy Spirit is great enough in a healer, it can literally knock you over, just like the Roman soldiers that were knocked off their horses when they wanted to take Jesus to Jerusalem. But he wasn't ready. He didn't even touch them, and they fell from their horses. It's probably just some form of mass hypnosis, I said. These people want to fall over. Debbie just sighed as we watched the people continue to drop. Aren't you two going up? Our friend leaned over to ask us. No way, I said. You've come all this way, you might as well, she said. What harm can it do? What harm could it do? There's a strange old fat lady up there sucking people's immortal souls out of their bodies, and she's asking what harm it could do. But anyone who's ever tried unsuccessfully to have a child knows how obsessive the need to conceive can become. After regulating our lives by basal thermometers, I won't go on and read the rest of this, but it was difficult. She's right, Debbie said. What harm can it do? We tried everything else. As Francis Hunter moved down the line toward us, I was sure we'd be the only ones left standing. Debbie at my left was shaking. Her eyes were tearing. This wasn't like her. She said afterward that she felt extremely emotional until Frances gently but firmly grabbed both of her upper arms and held her. At that moment, she said, a sense of warmth and peace suffused her, and she became calm. And what is the desire of your heart, honey? Frances asked. That's how she talks, by the way. We'd like to have another baby, my wife said, smiling and looking toward the floor. Frances Hunter's face lit up and she clapped her hands. Oh, that's wonderful. Babies are my specialty. The Lord and I have made black babies in Africa, yellow babies in China, red babies out west. Just get the color right, lady, I thought. Now, I want you to be happy because you're going to conceive a baby within a year. And when you have this baby, remember what the Bible says. All good and perfect gifts come from Jesus. Smiling, she placed the index and middle fingers of one hand on my wife's sternum. Plop, over Debbie went. Oh, no, not you too. I was dismayed that Debbie had suggested herself, like all the others, into falling over. Now here they were, covering her with a blanket too. Her knees had just buckled and over she went, self-hypnotized. Well, it wasn't going to happen to me. I scrolled my mind quickly to be sure no part of me wanted to go along with this thing. So as Frances Hunter approached me, I spread my feet apart and leaned toward her to place my center of gravity forward so she would have a hard time shoving me back. That must have been it. She gave everyone a shove, and then they fell over because they thought it was expected of them. Well, not me, lady. And what do you want, young man? She asked brusquely. She seemed to sense my attitude. Well, I have fibrositis, I stammered. It's sort of an arthritic condition in my chest that... She cut me short by placing a hand on my chest. Fibrositis, be gone, she commanded. The last thing I remember is flying backward, my feet lifting from the floor. I was aware that I was falling, that I had absolutely no control over what was happening to me. It was like being punched on the jaw, a tingling sensation, but no pain. It was like being shocked by a cattle prod. No, she didn't have one up her sleeve. It was like being blown off my feet by an exploding gas main. I'd never felt anything like it before in my life. My wife said later that I flew up and back and landed like a ton of bricks. For some reason, catchers were someplace else, and there was no one there to catch me. You made such a thud, I thought you landed on your head. I expected you to have a concussion, Debbie said. The whole stage shook when you hit. We lay there for a few minutes, and then Debbie helped me to my feet. As we wandered dazed off the stage, Debbie, holding onto my coat sleeve, said simply, "There are a lot of things in this universe that we don't understand." I just shook my head. Jack Grazier. If anybody wants to borrow this, you're welcome to. The reason I read this story is because, particularly if you were here last week, in fact, if you've been here at any time in the last many, many months, you know that there is something afoot among us all. There has been a healing going on for many of us who have been very, very badly wounded in our lives. All sorts of ailments which we thought were never susceptible to healing from any source, doctors or shamans or witch doctors or priests or other Christians. We just thought some things were intractable, and we've discovered it's not true, that God still does heal. This is a very embarrassing place to be. If you think about it, one of the most embarrassing things you can do is talk to other people about how there is healing in the church that you go to, and that God heals people there. I mean, this is not the sort of thing that one brings up in polite conversation. This is the sort of thing which has a bad reputation, and well-deserved in some instances. There was a movie several years ago, Steve Martin, called Leap of Faith, in which he portrayed a charlatan faith healer in his caravan as it sort of went around by bus around the country, and he relieved naive, gullible people of their cash. About 15 or more years ago, there was a movie by Marjo Gortner. Marjo was a child prodigy preacher, grew up, became apostate, and then went out and decided to do a documentary movie on how gullible Christians can be. And so he went church after church and preached and told people they could be healed and they should bring up their money, and then he would pray for them and plop, 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 they'd all fall over. And then he'd go back to his bedroom, sit on his bed, toss the money up in the air and say things like, "Glory G to Beezus." That was his favorite expression, "Glory G to Beezus." And he really made a lot of Christians look like fools. There have also been some real scandals in the community of healers. There was a fellow named Peter Popoff who, unfortunately, unless he has repented, is starting to come up again and show himself. And this was a fellow who was busted by the Amazing Randy, a magician, on The Tonight Show. Because what Peter Popoff did is he wore something that looked like a hearing aid in his ear. It was a receiver. And his wife sat backstage with a transmitter. And what they would do is they would send employees around in the crowd in the auditoriums where he went to ask them about their ailments. You know, what young lady is, why are you here? What needs to be healed? Mary Beth would say, I have a problem in my back or my hip or I have cancer or whatever. And they would note what she was wearing and where she was sitting. And then all of those cards would go to Popoff's wife backstage. And then she would say, Peter, the lady in the periwinkle coat sitting in the fourth pew near the end, she has a problem with her hip. And then Peter Popoff would walk up and would say, the Holy Spirit is talking to me. Dr. Jesus has told me. Mary Beth, is that your name? And of course she would go, yes, your hip. Dr. Jesus wants you to know that your hip is being healed. And of course everyone would go, hallelujah. And Mary Beth would be astonished that this man could know this about her. Well, the amazing Randy, to his eternal credit, took a radio scanner and just scanned across the frequencies during one of Popoff's crusades and found the frequency that this was being transmitted on and recorded it and played it on The Tonight Show. And Popoff's ministry vanished. I think people like that should be in jail, by the way, and I think God has a special place in hell reserved for them. I only hope Popoff repents or has repented. We need to not be kept from God by charlatans and by crooks and by fear of embarrassment. God really does heal. Those of you who have been here before have probably noticed that the back three pews of this congregation are now missing. They were removed yesterday with Randy and I and others. The pews are really heavy, by the way. And we had to unbolt them, and then we moved them over to the garage in the parish house next door. The reason for that is, in this congregation, we regularly have prayer during communion. But we haven't had any place to do it. There's no room up here because it's too crowded. Ellie, who often prays with folks, was back in the narthex, the lobby, praying for people by the doors. And it was just unconscionable. I can't say it. We shouldn't have done it. So what we've done is we've made space in the back of the congregation for prayer. God wants to heal us, and we should have no shame whatsoever in going and asking for prayer for ourselves, for our friends and loved ones, for a job, for physical healing, for mental or emotional healing, for finances. Doesn't matter what it is. God wants to heal us and be with us. And who do we think we're fooling if we are too proud to go for healing prayer? Who do we think we're fooling? We're certainly not fooling God. Odds are we're not fooling our friends or those who love us. They know that we need that prayer and healing. But also, we need to recognize as we go for that healing, and I encourage folks today to do that. Listen to your heart, and if God says, go for prayer, either for yourself or somebody else, don't disobey. Get up off your feet and go back there and be prayed for and prayed with. But also recognize that prayer and healing are often a process. What Paul did with that man with the foot bent sideways is one of the ways God chooses to heal. Sometimes there are things in our lives which God wants to reveal to us over time, and he gives us just as much as we can handle right then, just as much as we can see and deal with and acknowledge and confess. And then he heals that, and it moves on. So if you choose to be prayed with here every single day for the next 5 years, or every Sunday for the next 5 years, God honors that, and that may be the process that God has underway for you. There may be an instantaneous healing that he has intended for you. I've seen both quite dramatically. We should not presume to know how God chooses to heal us, only to know that God intends to heal us and that we need to be free enough to ask for it. So what we'll do today, and this will become a tradition in this church, this is a healing church. We pray healing prayer in this church. We invite the Holy Spirit to be with us and to be with us in our prayers and to be with us for that healing. That's what this church does. So when we have communion today, after you've taken communion, if you'd like prayer, go to the back of the church and there'll be folks back there equipped, ready, and loving to pray with you. And if there's somebody already there being prayed for, wait. Wait with God. He'll wait with you, and the chance will come. And if you want to wait and be prayed for by one of the pastors after the service, we'll do that as well. So I invite you, this is a healing church. Be comfortable that this is a healing church. Seek the healing that God offers. Amen.